Hi, welcome to Light Waves Lighting, a podcast put on by Shelley and Melissa, independent lighting reps from two separate parts of the country, where we will take an expert dive into all things lighting with a dash of design.
Hi, this is Melissa Lee from Lieben Associates and
Shelley with Urban Associates, your lighting representative podcast here. So I think for our first podcast, just as basic as it can be for us, would be we wanted to break this mystery of the light bulb. It's the number one question I get asked when I am visiting other like residential designers or even interior designers. You, Melissa?
yes, this light bulb is a mystery and also a little bit difficult to get these days because of supply chain issues. But I get asked a lot about light bulbs and where they're supposed to go, their suitability, all of that. So yeah, I think it's a great place to start.
Right. So we thought we'd break down the science of it. It's going to be a little geeky just to kind of break it down so that when you're reading the nomenclature of a light bulb, it might make a little bit more sense as to what that light bulb is, because maybe it would seem a bit foreign if not. But we're really just going to touch on the top five light bulbs used residentially. Yes, they are used on hospitality also. And I think you can agree with me that most of these are all the ones we're going to touch on are available in LED.
Yes, I think everything's available. All the major ones are available in LED, which we will also talk about. We're gonna get to LED. And just to chime within the lighting industry, light bulbs are referred to as lamps. So it's a little confusing because an end user, when you go in and ask for a lamp, you're expecting to get a table lamp, something like that. But in our industry, light bulbs are referred to as lamps.
Yeah, it can be a bit confusing, so I'll try very hard to refer to them as light bulbs. If for some reason I slip and say the word lamp, we are talking about a screw-in light bulb in this case. So, good point to bring that up. But anyways, we
Yes.
still use the nomenclature that we use with the incandescent lamp. I mean, the incandescent lamp was around for so long, so modifying these all to LED, they are still going to have the same shape, sometimes very close to the same fill or very close to the same color rendering that the incandescent had, but they are going to be LED now, but we're using the same science as far as the breakdown of the nomenclature.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, so thank you so much for tuning in. And so we're, the reason we got to the light bulb is because of the fact there's so many questions on it. There are over 20 different main shapes for bulbs. So of course, the variety of shapes and sizes can be a bit overwhelming, not only to the end user, to the designer, but sometimes even to myself or someone just entering the lighting world. You know,
For
so
sure.
the respective parameters, the shape, the size, the base type. Wow, I mean, there's many different base types, and all our pictures come with that, can appear on the package of the product, which I think you kind of have a product there that might show that, but they usually will break it down in the package.
I have a package and I have the product that goes inside the package. So this little round guy, it talks about the equivalent wattage, which is 60, and it's backwards to me, but I'm sure it's an LED and it's called a G lamp. So we're going to get to G. I think we're going to go through a few letters before G, but this is an example of how it's packaged and what it says on the packaging.
And at the bottom there, it will say an E12. So as we're getting into that, realizing that the E is usually the socket, has to do with the socket. So this is where the science will break down. So all lamps are low pack that come in the package. It should tell you everything on that. It's been recoded almost in a shorthand for you to kind of memorize or to learn. So I'm sure typically out there you use the same bulbs over and over and over again. Once you find one that you like, there are many different manufacturers who make them. We're going to get a little bit into wattage and using LED color temperature and CRI, but not a whole lot into this episode here. But all of that information is always on your packaging. So anyways, the shape of the bulb is signified by the bulb letter. So if we put that one back up, So let's see the gallbladder. Lift it just slightly. Is there a gallbladder on the front of that one?
Interestingly, there is not. It might be on the back, actually, this one. And it's not even on the back. So there you go.
Well, the size
All
of
men.
the, yeah, and then the size of the bulb usually
Oh,
is.
gee, I found it. It's very small, especially for somebody who's over the age of 30. It's down
You
here
go.
at
Okay.
19.
So the size of the bulb is designated by the number that follows that first letter. So each one of the A, B, C, F, and G, those are the ones we're going to talk about a little bit today. That A, B, C, F, and G is basically going to be something about the light, the shape of it, and then the letter after is going to be more about the numbers after will be the size. So we're going to do the most commonly ones used in a decorative fixture. In another episode, like I said, we'll talk a little bit more on task bulbs, reflector bulbs, and all of that. So we're just going to start on these decorative ones. So the A equals a teardrop shape. Or A-shaped light bulbs are characterized by the balloon, like a spherical head. So this is going to
Right.
sound a little scientific, but these are little things that you may want to kind of keep in your arsenal in the background. So, it stems from the word arbitrary, and the second is the diameter of the largest part of the bulb measured in the eighth of an inch. So that is an A, which you can hold that up again, that balloon. So that's an A19. So the diameter of the top of that A19, one of the most common bulbs used, is 1.9 inches. Correct?
Right. And this is the traditional, this is our Edison bulb. You know, when you have a light bulb moment, that's
Exactly.
this, this is the first, the light bulb that everybody thinks is the original light bulb. So.
And of course, that bulb, that A19, comes in frosted or in clear. A lot of times, that's just an aesthetic of what you prefer
Right.
throughout.
And this one, of course, is frosted. So.
Of course. So, and then like so that is the most common. Then also we have the A15, which is used in ceiling fans and appliances. So they're shaped, you don't happen to have one of those, do you?
I
They're shaped
don't have it one now.
very similar. So they're going to look just like that A19. They're going to have that balloon effect, but they're only going to be 1.5. So they're going to be much smaller scale of that. So even though the shape and the bulbs are similar, the difference lies in the dimension there. So the A19 and the A21 and the A15 light bulbs are most commonly mixed up due to their characteristics. So it's kind of easy if you say, okay, A15, that is mostly going to be in appliances, ceiling fans. A19 is going to be screwed into, maybe there are some still recessed lights or a bedside lamp or even in some decorative fixtures. Most commonly was used a long time ago, mostly probably in light bulb lamps, don't you think?
Yes, actually, absolutely. The A19s were kind of the standard for portable lamps, which tabletop or floor lamps, what we call
Right.
tabletop. So, yeah.
I think we have an A21 bulb. I personally don't see that bulb as much as it used to be out there, but the A21 had the same shape. It was wider in your diameter, and it had a higher wattage. Because it was wider, it allowed for there to be a higher wattage, which was more lumen output on that part of it. So due to the but now with the A19, I think that's what's most commonly used. Maybe they would use
Absolutely.
that in a recessed can, the A21
Okay.
back in
You could, especially if you don't live in California.
the day. Exactly. We can't do this in California at all. We can use the
No.
same shape, it just has to be LED. If you know
Right.
the diameter of the bulb and you multiply it by 8 to calculate numerical shape, you've got the shape as an A, and then you've got either 1.5, A19, or A21. So that kind of breaks that down pretty easily. That
That's
most common,
great.
yes. So then we have the second most common one used residentially, and that is the B series. It's easy to remember the shape of the B series. I don't know if we have one of these, but the light bulbs, when you remember that the B stands for blunt, as the bulbs are slightly rounded and have just a small tip on the end. They are a decorative bulb and are generally used in the chandeliers that are hanging over the dining room table or anywhere they're placed in the house. The B-shaped bulbs are also known as a candelabra bulb. Most likely, you're knowing this as a candelabra, but scientifically, it could be a B-shaped bulb. That's going to be your new, your alphabet on the packaging. There you go. Yep. Bulbs with this shape, they bulge based on a tuna, alternates to a round tip. Tuna, I think that's one. The sheep, the second thought, the C-shaped bulbs look very similar to a holiday lamp.
And in fact, yeah, I mistook this. I didn't know this was a B. I thought this was a C. So there you go.
No, no, no. I moved on to C. That was the B. You held up the B. Right? Oh. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Yep, you're right.
This is a bee. And the candelabra is similar, only it's got the smaller base. Screw base. Yeah, smaller base.
So the base size, always look at that too. So anyway, so we're learning here as we go a little bit too. It'd be a bit confusing. So the C-shaped bulbs, they look very similar to the holiday bulbs. The bulbs of this shape are very widespread in chandeliers, like I said. The C-series and the CA-series bulbs. These three series of bulbs are usually grouped as one since they are similar at the bottom structure with slightly different top and the tip part of it.
Right.
Some popular bulb sizes are the B-TIM and the CA-TIM.
And these are BA10, the ones that I have. This shape, and this is an LED, and you can see the little diode sticks. But this type of light bulb in with the candelabra, the smaller base, are the most common for chandeliers, and we use these also in chandeliers, medium base, bath. Vanity lights, things like that.
Exterior lighting in some cases too, right?
Absolutely, exterior lighting, yeah.
Yeah. The tip of the C-series isn't as sharp as the B, so it's a little bit more, C-series bulbs are used, I'm stumbling now, but maybe she can edit it out. Anyway, so the C-series comes in the C6, C7, C9, C11, and C15. I don't see a ton of C15s, do you?
No, I don't.
So then when it's got the little angular tip there, that's actually our CA series. So that's a conical angular bulb. So that's why it's called CA. They are very similar to the C series and the B. They have more of a candle-like effect. I think that's used mostly. I do see those used a lot in exterior lanterns. You also see them in inside decorative. But, you know, you even see them now made with a flickering.
Right. That it really authentico, like candlelight. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So the C, the B, the C, and the CA are all the kind of, angular cone looking shape. And then the CA has that tip to it.
Right.
And I think all of these, and I know that all of these can be actually purchased, whether it be clear or frosted. Really, that comes down to an aesthetic. To me, personally, I like frosted. I think it's a softer look, and it's not as glaring. But then there's a lot of people out there that really like it clear, so they can see inside.
Yeah. And I think clears look good with outdoor fixtures with glass. You know, like clear glass outdoor fixtures. These look better than the frosted, although it depends. And some people, a frost is actually better when you have clear glass in some ways because you don't have the glare. But aesthetically, people like the clear in the clear, a fixture that has a clear, like clear glass. Whereas right. You can use the frosted ones, the frosted glass, because of course you can't see it. Frosted or clear.
Yeah. Right. So
confusing already.
I might be speeding through this a little too fast, but we'll see. But then we have the F series lamp, which is more of a on the flame series that resemble a flame to a candle. So they're going to come more like a triangle, not like a tip or the angular that we said. It's usually an irregular flute size. It can be somewhat decorative. Sometimes you can see them where they actually have like an imprint in the glass.
Oh, I've seen those. Like they're old, like the like what you think of when I think of a light bulb from the 60s.
Absolutely, yes. But they're still around. And in some cases, it's more of an aesthetic, what you want to do. But that is, again, another one that's used in the residential or in a hospitality situation. The G series has been seeing a huge splash, which we were talking before, and it's one of my favorite in decorative lighting in the last couple of years. Yes, offering a specialty look with a luminance that it has the same luminance as an A lamp, but yet it's just got a smaller, I guess, curve to it. Not quite as much. It's much, much more rounded.
The right.
Globular, yeah, glow. Globular or the G series bulbs have a round essentially and not as much spherically. The globe lamps are also some of the popular shapes of light bulbs, but due to their spherical structure, the G series lamps have less surface illuminance than the A lamp. Because remembering on that A lamp, if you were to show them both, you have a little bit more that shines because you do have the bottom part of it, unless that was right. An LED with the heat sink. So it just has a little bit less of the surface glow to it. Hence, rather than using a general purpose light, the glow bulbs are often used for decorative purposes. And chandeliers, holiday lighting, marquee lighting, kitchen lights.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Decorative, ornamental lights. Some G-series lights are also used as vanity lights, but just in a bigger. Again, we're getting back into that size. So the G is the shape and then the size. So you have like a G11 and then you can go all the way up to a G14 and sometimes larger. So if we remember the old vanity lights, the Hollywood lights, mm-hmm. those were usually G lights. And to me, they're still some of the best makeup lighting right. that you can use.
They are. And I think also we saw a resurgence of this shape of light bulb because we just got through the mid-century where we have had a big resurgence of mid-century homes, mid-century lighting, which are really those globes, different types of globes, really simple sometimes. But yeah, I think that this bulb echoes that shape and is a complement to those kinds of lights. And if it's something that you see visually on a light, like a makeup light or marquee lights, it follows that mid-century vibe.
Right. It's a very soft light, you know, depending on the lumen they can go, but it goes up to a G40. So they can get very large there. So we're talking G shape. So it's like global and then up to 4-inch diameter. So it can be very, very big, you know. So then we move on to the third factor in bulb classifications, and that's the style of the base. So this one sometimes can still throw me off a little bit.
For sure, me too.
Yeah, this is the point where the bulb or the lamp makes electrical contact with the fixture or the luminaire. So we'll just say bulb and the fixture. Right. This part here, absolutely. Majority of the light bulbs are either a screw-in base or a bipin. Right now we're basically talking about the screw-in base. There are many unique bases for the light bulbs, but the most familiar is the Edison screw-in. And it's still stays familiar. I mean, we've converted all of our LEDs now, the A shape, the B shape, the C, CA, and the E and the F, I mean, G shape, all to be screw-in. So,
right, and these two, which are very different in the way they look and the types of applications you put them in, same size base, same base, which is a medium, we call the medium base.
Yep, medium base. And that is what we call it, just the medium base lamps or light bulbs. Sorry, excuse me there. So that's the screw-in. Yep. The E in the letter indicates the shape of the base. So when you showed that packaging earlier and it had that E in the bottom left corner, I think it said E12.
Mm-hmm.
Was that E12? Yep, right there. That's telling you that's an Edison base. And that's a 12-inch in the diameter there. So
right.
E12. The number indicates the size. Again, we're going the same thing that we did with the bulb. We'll also go with the socket, you know, or not the socket, yes. Always check your lighting fixture before purchasing your bulbs. There's not a manufacturer out there that probably doesn't have either on their box or in their instructions exactly what bulb they intend to use there. Again, that doesn't mean, as long as you've got the socket at the right, whether it be E12 or E26, your shape can vary to what you like. You agree, Ms. Melissa?
I agree. And it's important. It's just always important to get the right base. That's, you know, yeah. It will light if you have a medium base or an E26 and you choose this light bulb instead of this light bulb, you can always go back and go get the other light bulb. But if you have the wrong size for the socket contact,
yes,
you are not going to be able to use that light bulb.
No. So these breaks it down. I hope people are kind of understanding the mystery here, decoding it a little bit. It can seem basic, but it can mean a lot. So anyways, again, the bulb is measured to the eighth of an inch. The standard medium, like you said, is a regular size screw, and it usually denoted with an E26 or E27. The candelabra, which was the B, the C, basically, and the CA, that's basically always going to, that's a lot of E12s.
Right, which is on our package for this light bulb, the E12.
Yeah, and that fits really nicely in a lot of your, you know, chandeliers.
Right, and we see a lot of this socket with this light bulb shape on the top. So,
right. So we have a C fixture with an E12 socket.
Right. It's kind of like the Disneyland rides. E ticket.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, the E12 designates refers to the Edison screw base that measures 1.2 mil or what 12 millimeters across. So, you know, it goes into the millimeters again. At the opposite end of the spectrum is the Mogul E39 base, which designates an Edison base, as well as measuring a whopping 39 millimeters at the base. These E39 bases belong to a powerful bulb used mostly commercially, but that's how far up that base can go. So E12 being on the lower spectrum and E39 being on a very wide base there. So anyways, think that, you know, basically covers it, just the the numbers, what the alphabet number stands for and what the number after the E stands for.
Right. And we never, we don't really, when we're looking for light bulbs in the store, that gets really confusing. And by the way, everybody, if you want more information or you need to read and process this and digest this at your own pace, we will have attached at the bottom of our podcast, also YouTube and on our website, in the notes from this episode, we have a very comprehensive chart for all the different light bulbs and what their meanings are and what sizes they are and shapes. And it's everything is right there, but we're trying to get through it verbally, which is a more of a conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And so again, with each one of these bulbs, you have two choices. You have a frosted or a clear. Right. You have a chandelier, a pendant, a fixture, or a wall sconce that uses shades. Then I would recommend a frosted light bulb. Do you agree with that?
I agree. And when we say shade, we mean like the little lamp shades that go on top of them, right? Like you have a chandelier with five little
at the back corner. Right. That's what I mean.
Five of those guys. Yep. Yep, it's good to do, yes. Usually you use frosted for that because you don't need, you're not, yes. I guess I don't, you know, maybe there's a science to it, but I think it's also a preference for people. But yes, usually for shaded fixtures, we use a frosted.
Right, exactly. But again, it's by choice, but we're just kind of giving you rule of thumb here. You know, when I use a clear bulb, then you'll cast a filament striation onto the fabric. So you kind of don't really want to use that because you do see that filament because there's nothing wrapping the bulb frosted. So, you know, it can look a bit dirty or a bit stained or something like that. So that's been my general take as to why we use frosted. But again, there's no like set concrete law as to what you have to use. This is just basically right.
And when this, go ahead. When this is on, of course, it doesn't look the same as when it's off. For a clear light bulb like this, these look like yellow rods, but when it's on, you actually get this, the light, the Kelvin temperature of whatever the light, whatever you chose in a warm white, or they call it warm white or cool white. So it, when it's turned on, you actually get the light. You don't see the yellow. It changes color. The filament changes color and casts the light out for you.
I mean, and just for those tuning in that may not understand that yellow is a diode. That is an LED. That is the LED diode. So that's why it looks yellow when it's off. So,
and this is all, I mean, this is mostly what we see in California. We have these frosted bulbs, a lot of times with metal on the bottom that makes a good contact for the LED light bulb. It's not very beautiful. So when we have these kinds of bulbs with the metal on the bottom, the LEDs in any structure of a light bulb, an A, a C, it makes better conduction and makes the light bulb last longer. But we don't want to put that on a light bulb, on a light fixture where you would actually see the light bulb. You want to cover those up. These are more decorative, but they're also more glare. There's more glare, and you have to be careful about where you put it and what's your lighting, right?
Right. It can be done on purpose to be somewhat glary and blingy, or it can be done, you know, the others to be a little softer.
Right. And there's been a trend too, and I don't have any of these in front of me, but there's sort of this trend of vintage light bulbs, and the vintage light bulbs have the same socket structure and sometimes basically the same shape. Sometimes they're longer, they have a longer, skinnier appearance, but they are meant to look vintagey with kind of a warmer color. Do you see those where you are? We see them all the time in California.
You do see those. I didn't put those in this podcast because I wanted to keep them basic, but I do think they're huge in many ways. They're huge from pendants, and this is called the T fixture, right? That's your link. And I've even seen it in exterior wall lanterns these days, and sometimes on a shorter one. But I was going to save that for our second one because I thought, well, let's get through these first basic four and get to that. But yes, I mean, the T bulbs along with that G bulb, again, going back to that period of time, it does very well because it just, I love the T-bulb. I think it's a great look. It's smooth, and it's literally can be a nice bulb on a fabric shade if you need it, especially frosted because it's more even light, and it will light the entire space.
Right, and we see them too, where it has like a circular pattern going up. It's an LED, but we see them in wall lanterns that are sort of elongated with a clear glass. It looks kind of cool. It's looks very traditional and authentic in certain applications. But yeah, the big hitters are the ones that you just talked about. Those letters are the ones that we see most often in lighting. And it's very confusing. I mean, I'm confused by it, and I've been doing this for over 25 years. And sometimes I grab the wrong, light bulb or a lamp, we call it, with the wrong socket.
Right. So it's just being aware that the A, B, C, C, A, G, you know, looking at that nomenclature on that label or in those instructions, along with the number that goes beside the E, when you're going to go and purchase them, if they have not been shipped in with the fixture already. We know that happens, but we also know it gets shipped in and you've got a crushed bulb. It happens, you need to go get it, you have it there. So, you know, it's not a bad idea, you know, whoever you are, to keep catalog of the light bulbs that you need on hand, because you know, it varies from room to room and application to application. And then you kind of always know what you need.
Right. And they are also are changing. And California is a leader in energy savings. And so we've moved away from fluorescents and regular incandescents. And actually, in fact, the only light bulb, only type of light bulb we can buy in California is the LED. And sometimes we can't get it. So sometimes it's difficult to get. And if the manufacturer doesn't provide it, the best bet is to go to a lighting showroom and order it or get it from them if they have a department where they sell light bulbs. Some do and some don't, but they can always get it for you, to get the appropriate light bulb.
Right.
And I think that's a great place to go to get it, because if anyone's going to be able to find it, they are. So it's the best place to look for it and to learn which are the best light bulbs to get and which are the appropriate light bulbs for your fixture, for your light fixture too. So
right. Well, just to be clear too, when we say LED, for those here that maybe aren't in the lighting industry or not and work with it every day, LED stands for light emitting diode. So it is right. A diode of gas, and so it's a light emitting diode. That's what LED stands for. We just call it LED for short because it's a lot easier. So I would continue right. to do that. But there's some characteristics to the LED also. You have a color rendering. So a lot of our stuff is based off the old fluorescent, you know? So the color right. DRI is the measurement of how color looks under a light source when it's compared with sunlight. So the index is measured from a 0 to 100, with the perfect 100 indicating the colors under the light source that appear the same as natural light. There's not... that I know of, and I've been told there's not quite an LED that is at a 100 CRI yet. Maybe there's one on the forefront or one that I do not know about yet. But, you know, the old halogen lamps that we would use in MR16s were a very good 100 CRI. So, mm-hmm. you know, most bulbs now are 90 and higher. I don't mm-hmm. see very many that go, there's not a lot that go above 97 or 96, but we're getting there. It's slowly, but anyways.
And by the way, it's much better light rendering than a fluorescent. Fluorescents tend to be 70%, you know, set like about 70. They run in the 70s, which, you know, is not so fantastic as it relates to natural light. And we know that from fluorescents. We know they're not as, the light isn't as good. It's not the right color. Everybody looks a little green or, you know, just not quite the right color.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would literally always look for 90 or above, but there'll be some cases on that you'll be asked if you want to do an 80. They might call it like an 83, which would be 80 PRI, 3000 Kelvin. I think that the 80 is still here because commercially, if being used, they gain some watts per foot because they definitely commercially have to calculate how many watts per foot. So you'll see that 8 used there. So don't get thrown off from that. If you're looking residentially, if you're looking in hospitality, or if you're looking restaurant, that type, I would stick with the 9 plus. 8 would be more in calculatings of like student halls, auditoriums, that type thing. We're not looking at the colors as close than that. So there's not quite a 100 CRI. So stick with 90 in the home. And then we get into the Kelvins, which is really important.
That is really important.
Yeah. It is. It's very important. It's just so funny because this Kelvin truly, you know, does go off that fluorescent. You'll find a description of the light color. That's on the lighting facts label. So most of your light bulb containers have what they call the lighting facts label on it. There we go. Yes, absolutely. Like that says 1600 lumens and it is 15 watts. Yep, that's that one.
Right, right. 15 watts of power is being used, so they're efficient, right?
Does it say the CRI? I can't see that, but on the side?
You know, it's interesting. No, it does not say the CRI, and it's supposed to, but this box does not. It does give you the Kelvin temperature, though. It's okay. On this little spectrum of warm and cool, There it is, 3,000 Kelvin. So, right. So we should probably talk about Kelvin and what that means, because that's common on light bulbs. And sometimes they'll say warm on the light bulb label, warm or cool. And what does that even mean?
So if we're going to put it in basic terms, it's going to be the 27 or below, sometimes as low as 1800, is going to be more in your yellow spectrum, your warmth. You know, so when you have a spectrum from yellow to blue, it's definitely here on that warmer spectrum of that. You know, back in the day when all we did have was an incandescent A19 in our light portable lamps in our home, that's typically what we used. It's very warm. You'll see that a lot of times in spa applications, fine dining. You know, we feel very comfortable underneath it. There's a lot of warmth around it, and we're not as stimulated. And then as you go up the scale, then you go to 3,000, which is typically used across the board in residences. I am seeing a huge trend where I am of 2,700 coming back. I think it's a good feel good because we look at computer screens, but you have the 3,000, which is right there in the middle, very clear, very, would definitely do 3,000 on artwork, but you know, that goes up and that's kind of in the middle. And then you can go as much as 5,000 K. And that is true downlight. That's going to be outside blue sky, just the truest light you can get.
Right. And more stimulative, more like morning. If you're doing, which we will get into in another podcast, circadian rhythm lighting, you're getting into the 4400s, 4500s, because that's whiter light. And we talked about something really interesting, you and I, offline a while ago, about areas of the country and north versus south, and what the preferences are for Kelvin temperatures. So do you want to reiterate or tell people about that as a reiteration for me?
Well, the Kelvin difference is like, so 2700 being warm, it makes you feel warm, makes you feel cozy. 3,000 and above, well, 3,035 especially, a little cooler, psychologically you feel cooler. So we used to have this saying called the Mason-Dixon line, and it used to be when we used incandescents or even fluorescents back then, below where we tend to be hotter in the south, we would tend to go more 3,000 K and up, especially residentially if you could do it, but also commercially. That stimulates you also, but it also makes you feel cooler in the wintertime. So, I mean, cooler in the summertime. You can see this just used in colors too. I can walk into a yellow room and feel 10 degrees warmer than if I walk into a room that's light blue. It's just psychologically it. But when you would go above the Mason-Dixon line, they tended to use more 2700K because they were colder throughout the year more, and it gave them a warmth feel.
Interesting. And there's also differences around the world. Like in the United States, because we started with this 2700, this warmer candle kind of light, inspired light, we tend to gravitate towards warmer color temperatures, is my understanding, as opposed to Europe and Asia, who are used to cooler temperature of light bulbs.
Sure.
I think that's kind of a trend as well. But we're going to get more into color temperature and mood and things like that in another episode. But we want to introduce the idea of Kelvin temperature to you. It's a scientific term used in chemistry and physics, but we apply that scale to lighting in commercial and residential lighting too.
So rule of thumb that comes back from the Kelvins, what we just spoke about is, you know, if you're going to take the basics from this, 2700K is on the warmer. It's going to make you think more of your incandescent traditionally that we were here in the States with for many years. And then I think residentially and mostly even hospitality, 3000K is the next one up. 3000K definitely on artwork or even cooler. So those two for the residents and even for restaurants, depending what type of restaurant it is, are the most important. You start getting into data centers, you start getting into school or office applications, and you're going to get well above 3,000. But then again, that is simulation and a lot of other things. So, but for this right here on the basics, 27 and 3,000 are basically the two that you're probably going to use the most. You agree?
I agree. In the applications that we're used to and our customers are used to, and certainly in an end user in a home, those are the ones to watch out for. You have to be careful when you shop for light bulbs and like a home center, because they tend to separate them by warm and cool. And if you get cool light bulbs, you don't want to mix them with warm light bulbs. It looks ridiculous. This is like a pet peeve of ours. We walk in somewhere and there's a one light bulb that's 4,000 Kelvin and one that's 27. And I just want to climb up there and adjust it, right? Don't you? It's like, it's weird.
It is.
You have to be careful when you're shopping to make sure that you use the same color temperature in whatever light you're using, maybe even in the room, as the rest of it, or it will look weird, right?
Right.
You don't want to mix warm and cool, which I've done.
It's not a bad idea if there's a manufacturer that you find that you like, that 2700 or that 3000, write it down, keep it in it, and that's the one that you actually will use over and over and over again, because their practices are, you know, the color rendings that you like.
Right. And yes, there's differences in between manufacturers even, whereas, you know, company A, their 3000 is one way, and the company B, their 3000 is a little bit bluer, or, you know, a little bit yellower. So there's a lot of variations. They try to create these standards, but it's not always 100%. And there are variations that our eyes do see. So yeah, just try to stick to the same manufacturer for one chandelier, at least one room, maybe your house, and don't mix the warm and the cool together just because you need a light bulb. It's not
very noticeable.
It's very noticeable. It's not great for your eye, and all your friends and family will notice it when they come in.
So I think that, you know, the third most important is the lumen output on an LED. So that's also on your LED label. So I think the one that you just said there was 16 or 1300 lumens.
I think you're going to be able to read this better than I.
1600 lumens in that 819.
1600 lumens.
So, you know, that measures the amount of light being emitted from that bulb. So that's actually the light that's going to allow you to see. So Kelvins is going to be the color of that light, and then the lumens is the amount how it's going to allow you to see. You know, the higher the number, the brighter the light. You know, an A19 100 watt incandescent light bulb can now equal almost 1600 lumens, which is what you just did.
Right. And so when, you know, we used to talk about watts, right, for output, like it's a 100 watt lamp light bulb, 75 watt light bulb. So what is the equivalent of like a 1600 lumen, this guy? How do we relate that to watts? If we haven't made the jump to lumens yet, because it's kind of different.
Right.
How many watts? Yeah.
Well, that is a good question. Watts was my fourth topic there. And it's like, that just watts really measures the electricity that's taking to drive the lumens. So basically when I was talking earlier, if I backed up about why you still see ADCRIs on a lot of that's a lot of the wattage that's being used there to measure that lumen output. So they gain that per footage. And so, you know, check the light fixture for the maximum that on the inside of every label UL, which is the Underwriters Laboratory that writes our rules and regulations with electricity in this country. Every light socket actually has a label on it. So I didn't answer your question right there, Melissa, but I just wanted to bring this in and say, always check that. You don't want to overwatt a fixture.
Right.
You know, you can go lower. That's fine. All it's going to do is soften how much electricity is coming out of that and how much bright it is. But because the bulbs can burn kind of hot, so you don't want to. It can be a hazard if you overwatt something.
Right, that's true. You could cause a problem. You could burn your shades, lampshades, yeah. Everything. Yeah. And in California, which is the kind of the leader in energy savings, you almost can't over lamp something or over light it, because the input wattage these days in California is low, much lower than the wattage, the maximum capacity of wattage. We, if you look at this light, so this is an LED, so it's giving you the equivalence, but it's, I believe, about 15 watts of input, and you get about 1600 lumens, or about 100 to 160 watts of looking light out. Yeah.
So we've gone, I mean, all of this energy stuff, we've gone much lower. We used to be 100 watt, could be like what, 100 watt, incandescent, A19, 100 watts, what we would use.
Right, each bulb would be 100 watts. So your fixture would be, if you had three light bulbs in your fixture, would be 300 watts.
100 watts, that's driving a lot of electricity to run that bulb.
Right, which is, so, yeah.
With the introduction of LEDs, the great thing is now we're doing 1500 watts, 1600 lumens. So now we're less than 100 to drive three of those if they're in the fixture. So that's where we're backing down a lot on energy with a lot of the regulations, not us, but some of the regulations coming out, and it's helping quite a bit.
Right. It's a good thing. And I think it's going to be coming nationally where everything's switching over to LED light bulbs. So that's good, because in theory, you're going to use less energy. Your electric bill is going to be lower, but you're going to get approximately the same amount of light out of that table lamp that you have, or out of your ceiling fixture that you did before. You're just not using as much energy to do that. So
right. And it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating, because sometimes it's difficult to get these things. And I think, you know, LED, if people are still vexed a little bit about what an LED is, it's the same thing that's going into all the computers in the cars. It's the same technology in signals, traffic signals, and it actually goes into computers too, which is why we have a slowdown, because these LEDs are not available. So there's shortages everywhere, from cars to light bulbs to computer parts. So it's all tied together. So it's a great technology, and it's just very in demand, and the supply is staggering a little bit.
So I would say that most all LEDs, I mean, we've come a long ways. LEDs have been out now for 15 years, and I know that had a bad stigma from the beginning. You know, it came out, it was great. We were taking the place of fluorescence, but we've really, the companies out there have really honed it in. We've got good CRI. We have good lumen output now. We have good Kelvins. Great wattage is putting it out. We're only going to get better and better. You don't only see it in the screw-in light bulbs. We see it in linear tape lighting, all kinds that we're not going to get into here. But, you know, for a long time, people just didn't want to use it. But I think, you know, when we break this down for the most basic of basics, you can do any of the shaped light bulbs that we talked about here. We've got the A lamp, the B lamp, the C, the CA, and the G lamp. All of those can be done in an LED. All of those have the multiple sockets. That's the E number that we need. All of those have varying, I would say 90 or above CRIs. So we're getting a great spectrum. They've all probably got an option now of 27 to 3000, and in some cases up. And now we have frosted or clear, and then we're lower on wattage. So I really feel like, you know, as a good friend of mine, Bob Henderson, who you all don't know, he's been in the lighting industry for a long time and maybe on this show. We are in a lighting revolution right now. The biggest lighting revolution that we have been in since, and this has been going on far before this podcast, when LEDs came on, was the biggest change in lighting that the lighting industry had seen since the invention of a metal halide or high pressure sodium, which we're not going to talk about today. It's a different light. You see it mostly in your parking lot lights. But the technology right now, we're in a revolution. It's all changing.
It's been changing, and
it's going to do nothing but continue to change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And these light bulbs, we'll talk about it in another episode where we talk about smart systems and smart lighting, but these light bulbs can do some amazing things, and they can respond to your security system just the way a regular light bulb used to do. turn on, turn off at the appropriate times, dim at the appropriate times. So it's really pretty amazing what these little guys are capable of now versus what they were like, 20 years ago, where you get what you get, but it's different now.
So I think this was a very good start podcast. It's the basic of the basics, but it truly is one that I get tripped on to. If I don't look at my socket before I leave or see the suggested wattage before I'm going to replace it, these are all the things that are basic that you need to look at before you get purchased or you're going to make multiple runs.
Right. This is true. And the best thing to do is when you order, if you're an end user or a designer and you're listening to this podcast, if you're ordering lights from a showroom or wherever you're ordering your lights, try to make sure that you get your bulbs and maybe even extra bulbs from the same person, same company, same source. If you're going to a lighting showroom, ask them to, if the light bulbs aren't included, that you want the light bulbs, a package of light bulbs to come with. That way you actually get your light and you can put it together the same, everything together at the same time. You're not waiting to actually light the fixture because you bought the wrong light bulbs. It's kind of like buying something and it has batteries and you don't, and the batteries are not included and you get it home and can't make it work. So remember to always ask for light bulbs when you're purchasing if the showroom or the manufacturer themselves don't include them. And you can always ask if they're included with the purchase of the fixture.
I know in my on the East Coast here, I can speak for the Carolinas, majority of our lighting showrooms, when purchased from them, they do include bulbs with it. So maybe they're not always matching the IMAP price or whatever, but they're also including the bulbs with it, making sure that you have those type things with that. So, again, you can always ask for it, but I think that most of it here, do they do that on the West Coast?
They do, but not as much because we have, here we have different regulations. We have different setups, and a lot of times the light is integrated. It already has the light source in it. And sometimes it's difficult to get the light bulbs that you want in the decorative light bulbs. So sometimes they don't include it or they assume you're going to get your bulbs elsewhere. A lot of lighting showrooms will ask if you want light bulbs included with the purchase of your light fixture. But because we can't ship things to California, certain light bulbs to California, we don't often, interestingly, include them.
See, and that just shows the difference, East and West. Mm-hmm. So I think this was a good introductory. We will definitely have this on the website. You can download like the highlights of it and then maybe even just our little scale of the light bulbs. And then upcoming podcast, I think next time we're going to do fans. We're in the middle of fan season.
Right. We're going to do ceiling fans. But we're going to loop back to light bulbs because we're going to get a bit of a deeper dive into light bulbs, I think, next time. And when you use certain light bulbs with certain styles of light, and we're going to show you the difference between what, this light fixture looks like with this type of light bulb versus this type and how different it makes the whole light fixture looks, a little more design and a little more of a technical dive next time, next part.
Absolutely. B. Yeah. I was the one that pushed for this one to be the first. I've been asked for so long about to just come in and teach and design firm about light bulbs. It doesn't make them not knowledgeable, but I just think it can be a bit confusing. And it's one more of those little details that they have so much to keep up with. So definitely need to make the basic of the basic to get us going.
Right. And that's a great first episode because I think light bulbs, as illuminating as they're supposed to be, are sometimes very confusing. So this is a great start.
Well, we hope you have a great day. Stay tuned for fans on our next episode. Thanks so much.
Guys. Bye.